This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, June 20th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on Juneteenth, a federal holiday today. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning to start your week. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I hope all you dads out there had a really happy Father's Day with your family and loved ones. Yesterday, on the solemnity of Corpus Christi, I was absolutely a baseball dad. What a joy it was for me watching my 14-year-old son, Joseph Dominic, and his Glenview Blaze baseball team win a big travel tournament championship. It was such a thrill. What a day it was. We praised the Lord first thing in the morning by going to Mass on Corpus Christi, which set the tone for the entire day. Everything else was gravy. Now, yesterday, on the feast of Corpus Christi, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops officially launched a Eucharistic revival, a 3-year invitation to the Church and her members to a renewed love of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. This is what it's all about, my brothers and sisters, as we revive our faith in our Eucharistic Lord, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, the source and the summit of our Catholic faith. Try to go to church one more time each week, maybe to daily Mass, or if you just have just a moment, stop into your local church and just genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament and tell Jesus how much you love Him. And that is something that Father Rocky is recommending here during this Eucharistic revival. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. And you can find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. I want to bring in my colleague, our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Monday morning?
Well, John, waking up to a new federal holiday today. Technically, it's on Sunday the 19th this year, but today marking the first federal holiday acknowledgement of Juneteenth, celebrating today. So federal offices, the post office and things like that will be closed. Juneteenth marking the kind of practical end of slavery in the U.S., announced in Texas June 19th, 1865. Not everyone got the word right away after the Emancipation Proclamation, and it was June 19th in Texas. General Order No. 3 by Union Army General Gordon Granger that proclaimed freedom for enslaved people in Texas.
Meanwhile, today the extreme heat continues in much of our country, from Texas to the Dakotas. I know Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City are expecting very warm temperatures today, perhaps near 100 tomorrow, Glenn.
That's right. Going to hit 100 in many spots, from Minnesota all the way down through South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, into Texas. Central part of the country looking very red on the heat map. So be smart about handling the heat today.
And my friend, how was Father's Day for you?
Oh, it was excellent. It was excellent. Hard to beat those early days when the kids are little and they climb into bed with homemade breakfast and homemade cards and things like that. I still remember one time they had made some little fish creations that were, you know, paper stuffed with something, and they ended up hanging on the bedpost of the bed for a couple of years, I think, as a matter of fact. Love that. But got to spend some time with my father-in-law, who recovered from his first round of cancer treatment. So that was kind of a special Father's Day yesterday, John.
Well, Glenn, as I mentioned there at the top, I'm still in euphoria. What a day it was for this former sports reporter. For me, as you know, I love baseball. It's my other passion other than my Catholic faith in our Lord. And yesterday to see my 14-year-old son, Joseph Dominic, help his team win in a big time way. They finished the tournament undefeated and are the Mid-Suburban Baseball League champions. They got these huge rings instead of trophies or medals. They got these rings that look like Super Bowl rings. They're quite amazing for 14-year-olds. So it was a really happy celebration. These kids jumped around and celebrated like they just won the World Series. You know, they've watched enough TV to see the way the big boys do it, throwing the gloves up in the air and just jumping on the mound. And they just had such a great time. And, you know, it really was very very uplifting for me as a dad, along with all the other dads. You know, we had lost a tournament back on Mother's Day. We came in second, but on Father's Day, we pulled it out. And so all the dads were smiling from ear to ear, and it was just a lot of joy. Sarah, how was Father's Day in your family?
Well, nothing so exciting as what happened with you, John. They weren't popping any champagne bottles where I was at, but we did have some family over, and we got to celebrate and see everyone, and we did the mandatory every year, that family photo of every dad with their kids, which meant me and my sisters got to stand next to our dad and my kids around my husband, and my brother-in-laws had their kids around them. So there's always a little bit of a grumble, you know, those dads, they don't really want to take that picture. But you know, Glenn, just like you were mentioning, when you look back on those past Father's Days, you're going to want to see that picture. Yeah. Where every look at how they grew and remember that funny face, and we couldn't get that one to smile and all that stuff. So you got to have that mandatory picture.
Got to have the pictures for sure. And I had a beautiful picture with my son with his ring in full baseball uniform, and I looked like a baseball dad right on the field. So these are great memories. In fact, my favorite memory is when my little guy was 5 years old and he's hitting off the tee at age five. I think, Glenn, you saw it on Facebook, in his little full cubby uniform at age five. And, you know, these are priceless memories. And I remember at the time I thought that was the best Father's Day. Well, I think yesterday at age 14, even topped it.
Yeah, those ones
well,
in the past
they
are
keep
so cute.
Better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. Happy Father's Day once again to all the dads out there. And we always begin First Things First with prayer every morning here on Morning Air, giving thanks to our Lord for the many, many blessings, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit in gratitude. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Jesus the Lord says, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you." These verses from today's gospel in Mass are a reminder from our blessed Lord that we must not judge others' motives or their character or their heart, because only God knows man's heart. We can make judgments about actions, but not one's heart. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Again, our number, if you want to be part of our conversation, 888-914-9149. Now it's time to talk about money, financial matters through a Catholic and spiritual perspective. Currently, there's a 4th of July manager sale going on in the market. 500 of the greatest, most profitable companies in the world are marked down 27% this year. 2,000 of the greatest, most innovative companies in the world are marked down 31% in 2022. And of course, Bitcoin is really struggling, down well over 52% here in the first part of this year. Last week was the worst week for the stock market in 2 years. So the question is this an excellent time to be optimistic about the markets? Joining us now is our financial expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Bill Ulivieri, with much more on this 4th of July manager's sale. Bill is an investment fiduciary, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Bill specializes in providing independent 401k advice and portfolio management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again on another Monday.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, John and Glenn. It's great to be back.
Well, Bill, the question is there any good news this morning as we see the higher interest rates with the Fed raising the rates by 0.75% last week, the stock prices much lower, 401ks really taking a hit? Why should we be hopeful?
Well, this has been the most incredibly difficult market to maneuver for almost as long as I've been in this business, since 1980. The typical safe havens have been anything but that, right? The stock market is down, the bond market, which is typically, quote unquote, a safe place to go, emerging markets, international markets, the cryptocurrency, gold, silver, electric vehicles, green energy initiatives, transportation stocks, utilities have all done incredibly poor in 2022. And there's really nothing but bad news out there, John. But to be honest, I am beginning to see a couple of signs, just a few little crumbs of positiveness. And it kind of reminds me of, when the disciples after the crucifixion, they were on that, listen, investors are shocked, they're stunned, and they don't feel like there's any place to go. So I'm just going to talk maybe a little bit about where there could be some places to go. Just a little bit of a little hint. Originally this was supposed to be a July 14th manager's clearance sale, but I guess it's a Juneteenth sale because I was one of those guys that didn't get the message that it was a federal holiday, and I took the garbage cans out last night. So I don't know what's going to happen, today, but market is closed and we'll open again tomorrow. But let's just pretend we're having a conversation, John, that you and I are on a playground, right? We're sitting on a teeter-totter. And I just want to give a little historical perspective about what the market has done. And I'm going to let you be the good guy, which is the bull market, and I'm going to be the bad guy, the bear market, right? And so from 2009 and 2015, after the Great Recession, we had this incredible rally where the market rallied, about 200% from the low of 2009 up until about 2015. And you're the good teeter-totter guy. So your side's going up and my side's going down. So everybody's watching you. And nobody believed that we could rally after that Great Recession. It was like the end of all things were supposed to happen. But we actually rallied, and we just grounded up and slow but steady, grinding higher. And then in 2015 through 2016, the market had a clearance sale like we are having right now, where it was down about 14%. And then I was in charge of that teeter-totter going up. Right? So I went up and you went down. Then right after 2016, we rallied, had a great rally of about 60 to 70% from 2016 until around October of 2018. And then once again, the bear market, if you want to call it, the declining market took over, and we hit this blue light special in stocks. Market went down about 19%, putting me back in control. We rallied into the end of 2019, right before COVID. The Dow was right around where it is today, I think around 30,000, if I'm not mistaken. And we rallied 42%, basically almost in 1 year, a little bit less than 1 year. So we had a huge rally, the COVID decline of 37%. Now this big rally of 120% from the March 2020 low, COVID lows, until January 20 of 22. So we've been all over this place. This teeter-totter is just flinging back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so I really, really appreciate the way that you introduced this segment, because we are having this big manager sale out in the market where the S&P 500 are the greatest, most well-known, most profitable liquid companies in the world are down about 27%. And the Russell 2000, 2,000 of the most innovative, smaller cap growth companies in the world are down 31%. And Bitcoin, again, you've heard me talk about that on numerous occasions, is down about 52% just this year. So we're having one of these typical clearance sales. And honestly, it's unlike a market I have never seen, because it's, you know, Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, where do we go? There's no place. The only thing that really has rallied has been the U.S. dollar, which is the opposite of what everybody thought. Everybody thought that we were going to getting inflation, would see a lower dollar. You know, we saw the energy prices rally and commodity prices rally. And so once again, we're at this place where everything's gotten hit except U.S. dollar and energy. But energy has given back all its gains in like a week. An entire 6 months of gains have been given away in about 10 days. So this is really interesting. We're at a crossroads here. And so I'm beginning to see that inflation is subsiding. I'm beginning to see that the bond market is beginning to get some footing. It looks like some of the China and the BRIC funds, which are Brazil, Russia, India, China, are looking a little bit interesting. I'm not so sure about the emerging markets and the and international just yet fully, but we are beginning to see some signs that the decline in this market is ending. And again, I think, you know, we need to look at these things not from a perspective of fear and depression and recession and the Great Reset and all this kind of dialogue out there that's just so pessimistic and it's just so unhopeful. I mean, it drives me crazy because that's all that I see. But just that these opportunities are for buyers, you know, people that don't have fear, people that have a little bit of the extra cash that want to put it to work, because the greatest offset, the greatest hedge to inflation is not gold, it's not silver, it's stocks, it's the S&P 500 and the companies of the United States. So I'm just seeing some really interesting things out there, John.
Well, Bill, I can't help but think of your perspective on some of the financial shows this weekend. In fact, most of them were talking about the end of crypto. Is it near after all these huge recent losses? What is your take on what's going on with crypto in general and Bitcoin specifically?
Well, I tell you, John, do you remember, you know, during when the dot-com bubble burst, the only thing the internet was really good for was ordering like pet food, and you can get an Amazon book. Like Amazon only started out as a bookseller. And we had this huge decline in technology stocks, thinking that, hey, the brick and mortar business is gone and the internet's going to be the new way of doing business. And then the internet stocks just imploded. I mean, hugely imploded, thinking that we were never going to go back up again. And now look at this. You know, 19 years later, 18 years later, Amazon and the internet is the thing. It's the complete backbone of this economy. And so we have to keep that in mind, that what's happening to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency today is what happened to the internet stocks back in 2002 and 2003. There is more Bitcoin and cryptocurrency adoption globally going on right now than meets the eye. This is the cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, which it sits on, is the new internet. This is it. And so there's some great opportunities out there. And I'm still incredibly optimistic. This is the thing, is that blockchain and cryptocurrency allows you to participate in the actual network effect of the internet. See, back in 2003, if you wanted to take advantage of the internet, you had to buy companies like Amazon and Apple. And so I'm so incredibly excited. This is even a bigger sale for people who like this kind of technology, this sale that we're having.
Bill, we have about 30 seconds. Is the U.S. inflation expected to keep running hot? And do you think it's going to cause a recession?
I think we're already doing that, John. That's what we're going through. I mean, the recessions are always identified using the luxury of a 2020 rearview mirror. The recession we're experiencing is right now in the stock market. And so I think there's nothing but incredible opportunity here, and we have to keep a forward-looking view of things. And yeah, there'll be talk of recession, but we'll be out of it before you even hear about it on the news. And that's what happened last time during COVID. That's what happened in 2009, in 2010. So I'm very, very optimistic here, again, seeing some positiveness in the market.
As always, appreciate your perspective. How can our listeners contact you?
Well, we really appreciate that, John. They can call us at area code 847-686-4800. That's area code 847-686-4800. Or anybody, you know, in the U.S. can contact us through the form handler on our website at senecalcapital.com. You know, if you want us to take a look at your 401k or have us, in, you know, if you're interested in having us manage it, would be a great opportunity for us.
As always, appreciated very much. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Glenn.
Bill Ulivieri, owner of Seneca Capital Management. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. You're going to hear my conversation with Catholic author and producer Mark Wahlberg, the star of the movie Father Stew, which is now out in DVD. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you this morning. I want to talk about the movie Father Stew, based on a true story starring Mark Wahlberg. Father Stew was released on digital media on May 31st and on Blu-ray and DVD on June 14th, just in time for Father's Day yesterday, from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Mark Wahlberg, who starred in over 50 movies during his career, says it's the most important film he's ever done. Father Stew tells the story of a former Golden Gloves boxer who becomes an unlikely priest, a role which allowed Wahlberg to embrace his deep Catholic faith. Listen to part of the trailer.
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic.
Well, ain't that what confession's for?
You can't date someone who isn't baptized.
I thought you was gonna say Hispanic. Where's the water? I'll do it now.
I know I'm not what you used to, and not what you deserve either.
Life's gonna give you a gut full of reasons to be angry. You only need one to be grateful. Push!
I think God saw something in you worth saving, but it's up to you to decide what you've got to offer.
It's the place you told me you believed in me. I thought it makes sense being back here to do this.
Your son is about to make a huge mistake.
Well, I'm going to be a priest.
For Halloween.
Now, veteran actor and producer Mark Wahlberg, one of the most respected actors in Hollywood, who earned both Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations for his outstanding work, joined me on Morning Air when the movie first came out. Listen to my conversation with Mark Wahlberg, the star of Father Stew. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you this morning.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mark, first of all, what inspired you and why were you so passionate about telling this real-life story of Father Stew?
It's just such an inspiring story. I think it's certainly something that everybody needs in this really difficult time that we're living in. Everybody's been through some difficulties, and so this movie is going to really inspire a lot of people and touch a lot of people.
You have said to other media outlets that the Father Stew is the most important film you've ever done as an actor. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I mean, this is a love letter for me to the Lord, to Father Stew. He inspired and touched so many people. We're now, you know, getting his message out there to the world. You know, this is an opportunity for me to utilize all those talents and gifts that have been given to serve God's greater good and you know, do my part.
Mark, for the folks who have not seen the trailer or don't know too much about your film, can you give us just a short synopsis of the storyline of Father Stew?
Yeah, Stew is the least likely guy to become a priest. He was a boxer, troublemaker, went to Los Angeles to try to become an actor, fell in love with a girl who happened to be very involved in the church. So that's kind of how he got led to the church. But through these different events, not only he had a horrific accident, and then he decided not only was he going to become baptized, but he was going to become a priest, which everybody thought he was absolutely crazy. And then he went on to touch a lot of people in a very short amount of time in the priesthood.
And we're talking about someone in Father Stew who really had some real-life struggles. He was authentic, a real guy. Is that what made him so special?
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, with all that real-life experience that he had when he was then ministering to people and counseling them, you know, they knew he had credibility because he had been through so much himself, and he could really, really articulate that to people.
What about this role of fathers, too? Has this role allowed you to really embrace passionately your deep Catholic faith?
Absolutely. 110%, and I'm looking forward to making more faith-based content in the future.
What does your faith mean for you as a Catholic?
I mean, it's everything. I credit everything good in my life, both personally and professionally, to my faith. You know, it's allowed me to. It just gives me such comfort. You know, I get a lot of joy and a lot of comfort.
And obviously, you believe so much in this project that you actually went out and financed the movie by yourself. How difficult of a decision was that for you?
It's tough. They say the golden rule is you never finance a film. But, you know, I knew I wanted to make the film and I wanted to have complete creative control. So, you know, what are you going to do? Take a swing, right? In a movie touching so many people, so I think it was a wise choice.
And you took a page right out of Mel Gibson's playbook, who also put up a lot of his own money in making The Passion of the Christ. In fact, you actually got to work with Mel and Jackie Weaver, who played the parents.
Yeah. I picked Mel's brain about it pretty early on about financing the film himself. I definitely was inspired by that.
How special was it to work with a fellow Hollywood legend in Mel Gibson?
He and I had worked together already. He played my dad now twice. He played my dad in Daddy's Home 2, and then he played my dad here in Father's 2. And Mel was Bill Long's first choice to play himself.
Now, Mark, you've also experienced your own fair share of trials, personal turmoil and loss. Can you see the parallels between that in your life and that of Father Stu?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are many, many, many similarities. I really felt like I spent a lifetime preparing to play this role. And I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody of my generation who would be more suited to play this part than me.
I understand that, unfortunately, you lost your mom during the filming of this movie. That had to be so heart-wrenching. What a difficult time to be making a movie and losing your mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was as difficult a time as I've ever had. Thankfully, I had lots of support with my family and friends and to really kind of rally around me.
How about your family? How has the family received this movie?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I just did a screening. We had a premiere in Helena, Montana for Stu's family, which was amazing. And then we had another premiere in Boston and my entire family came, which was really nice. No dry eyes in the theater.
Absolutely. Well, I am so much looking forward to seeing the movie for sure. So make sure to bring some Kleenex to see it. What have you heard from the folks who have had a chance to see the pre-screening of it?
Oh, I've never had a reaction to a film like this. I mean, I've been in some good ones. To see people laughing and crying, and then most importantly, being so inspired. And also, they're all challenging themselves now to do a little bit more and to be a little bit better, you know, and find out whatever their role is in God's big picture, to identify what that is and to go out and seek it out and just to be better. So it's really inspiring. I couldn't ask for a better reaction to the film.
When you look at this real life of Father Stu, there's got to be a lot of life lessons for everyday Catholics and other Christians to learn from this movie. Can you talk about a few of the life lessons we can learn from Father Stu?
Yes. I mean, my gosh, you know, just challenging people to see the good in people, you know, to see the good in people and know that nobody's beyond redemption, and we want to root for people to be the best self. So, again, people are going to be very, very inspired by this.
Now, I understand that to make this film, you had to actually gain a few pounds to play Father Stu.
Yeah, that was the least bit of fun, putting on all that weight. We were eating up to 11,000 calories a day.
Wow.
So, terrible. But it was really important to show Stu, who, you know, most of his life, everything was predicated on his physical abilities. And then for him to lose that, but gain so much power and strength spiritually, that was the big transformation. So we wanted audiences to actually see that happening.
Mark, can you talk about what your hopes are for this film? What do you hope that this film will do for the people who get to go see it?
Well, I promise it's going to inspire everybody who sees it. And again, it will challenge them to do a little bit more, or just to be a little bit better, kind of, you know, whatever that is, whatever they're called to do, that they go and embrace that. And I think it's going to be a movie that's going to bring people together, which is really nice.
Mark, we're here in Holy Week, obviously the holiest of weeks for Catholics and other Christians. How special is it for you to have a Father Stu coming out right here during Holy Week?
It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. I can't wait to go to a theater and experience it with an audience. And it's been heard, hearing it talked about in church and all that stuff. It's been really nice. You know, because the movie has language and it is rated R, you know, there were some concerns early on with the church and the archdiocese. And then for them to have seen the film and given me the most glowing reviews and really understand the importance of the language and the violence to get to where Stu was, I mean, it's given me the most glowing reviews and support that I could have ever imagined.
Well, Mark, I want to give you the microphone and the platform here in the closing moments to speak directly to our Catholic audience coast to coast from Maui to Maine, nearly 200 stations. They want to hear it right from you, an invitation to go see the movie.
Yes, I'm really excited that everybody go out this Holy Week and see Father Stu in a theater, laughing and crying with your fellow moviegoers. I promise you this movie will inspire you and reignite hope and faith and also challenge people to do more.
Mark, I so much appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Many, many blessings with Father Stu, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And that was my conversation with veteran Catholic actor Mark Wahlberg, the star of Father Stu, when it first came out during Holy Week in theaters. Now, Father Stu was released on Blu-ray and DVD on June 14th, just in time for Father's Day from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, and is available on Amazon. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about ways to be an awesome dad with Catholic author and speaker Steve Wood, the founder of St. Joseph Covenant Keepers. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this short timeout.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I can still remember every lesson he taught me, growing up, learning how to be like my old man.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on this Monday morning. A number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as you know, yesterday we celebrated Father's Day. I hope all the dads out there had a great Father's Day with your families and with your loved ones. This former sports reporter spent Sunday morning at Mass for the Solemnity of Corpus Christi. Christie, and then I was a baseball dad the rest of the day, watching my 14-year-old son, Joseph Dominic, and his Glenview Blaze baseball team win a big travel tournament championship. What a day it was. What a thrill. Probably the best Father's Day ever for me. So on this day after Father's Day, it's a great time to continue to inspire Catholic men to their great and noble call to be Catholic fathers. Maybe we can talk about the importance of this experience of being a dad, because dads really do matter. Joining us live is popular author, radio and television host, and conference speaker Steve Wood to discuss ways to be an awesome dad. Steve is the founder of St. Joseph's Covenant Keepers, a worldwide movement to strengthen Catholic fatherhood. Steve and his wife Karen are the parents of 8 grown children and the grandparents of 15. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you to talk about dads here on the morning after Father's Day.
Good morning to you, John. And that's nothing better that I like to talk about than fatherhood.
Oh, I know that this is your passion, Steve, and this is why we wanted to chat with you here on this day after Father's Day. Why do you think that fathers matter more in this day and age than ever before?
Well, it used to be the school, the culture, and the home were all synced up, and they all reinforced each other. And today, you know, the culture is a pretty big pull away from the faith, away from a moral life, away from how parents want to raise their children. And so it gets really rough to raise a child today. A lot of later teens and young adults are just walking away from their faith. So what's really necessary is for dads, I believe, are the ultimate key to developing a strong faith. That's what's really needed today. And it really starts in childhood. You can't wait till you see some problems late in teens and think, oh, what can I do today? You know, but it starts early. But if dads do that, I'm convinced that they can have what's needed to give their child a strong, lasting faith.
And I imagine that that was part of your motivation and inspiration for starting St. Joseph Covenant Keepers, to try to make a difference and to touch the hearts of so many dads.
Absolutely. And, you know, moms definitely hold up their 50% of the deal in trying to have a solid Christian family. But dads have a unique role, and to me, that role was best expressed by St. John Paul II. He said, the role of the Christian father is to reveal and relive on earth the very fatherhood of God. I've never heard a greater challenge, but the idea is our children are looking to us as dads to see what God the Father is like, whether we like this or not. There's no way to turn off the broadcast from our lives. And the influence of a dad, it's very interesting. Lifeway Christian Books did a research on what happens when a first member of the family becomes Christian, and will the family follow? And for instance, if a child goes to, say, a summer Bible camp or something and becomes a Christian, there's a 3.7% chance the whole family will follow. If that's mom, say she goes to women's Bible study, becomes a Christian, well, then there's a 17% probability that the whole family will become a Christian. But guess what happens when dad is the first in the family to embrace the faith? 93% probability that the whole family follows.
Wow.
And
wow.
So, yes. And that's what John Paul II, it's our job to reveal and relive on earth the very fatherhood of God. Doesn't mean we're perfect, because there's no earthly father that is perfect, starting with me, but God the Father is. And because even though we're imperfect fathers, we're that lens that children can look through and kind of have this awakening for the great fatherhood. And that's really ultimately Christ and Holy Spirit are wanting to bring us to a living relationship with God the Father.
Steve, you have studied fatherhood for such a long time. Give us your perspective on what you think is foundational to being a successful dad.
Well, most good dads, just sounds like you are,
Yeah, no, it's important to play ball with your kids in the backyard, go fishing, hiking, biking, whatever it is. Spending time with our kids is critical, because if we don't do it, then the culture is going to do that. And we want the influence of parents. But there's something major and foundational to fatherhood that's often overlooked, and that's our marriage. Because marriage is the foundation for fatherhood, because for fatherhood, it rises or falls along with marriage. And so often, you know, fathers are literally separated, physically separated from their children if the marriage goes. So that, as good dads know, you're supposed to spend time with your kids. It's also a good dad to get a babysitter and wave goodbye to your kids as you take your wife out on a date night. Kids need to see that. And that's the kind of the missing ingredient, so to speak, and a lot of emphasis on fatherhood. That's why we called St. Joseph's Covenant Keepers. That's the marriage as the foundation. And that, if you keep that going, you have a good start.
Now, you talk about fathers having a secret weapon. What is that secret weapon, Steve?
Oh, I've had guys offer me. No. How do you get the kids to do something? Okay. I'll illustrate it by a quick story. When my son was 2 years old, he noticed that I would put money in my wallet and then stick it in my back pocket. Well, he didn't have a wallet or a back pocket, but when he found loose change around the house, he stuck it in his diaper, and my wife started finding pennies and quarters in dirty diapers, giving new meaning to filthy lucre.
That's hysterical.
But what was he doing? He was imitating dad. Children are sent into this world by God with the natural inclination to imitate what they see. And as good parents, you know, you're careful what your kids watch and that type of thing. But even more important than keeping negative stuff away are just as important as the picture of your own life. Like, your kids will notice exactly how reverent you are when you genuflect. Do you really take the homily serious? Do you really pray during the prayers of the mass? They'll notice all of that stuff. And they'll take kind of your life as a weather vane for how they're supposed to live. They will imitate you. And I wish it was another way. You know, you could just tell your kids what to do and they do it, but that's not the case. And you start living your own life and your kids will imitate you.
Steve, I find that in my own life, that being so true. You know, my son that I just spoke about, the won the big baseball championship yesterday. He's 14 now. This kid crosses himself before every single at bat, and I am more proud of him for doing that than for hitting a home run over a fence. And, you know, he shared with me last week that he always prays, "Jesus, I trust in you," as he comes up to bat. And it gives me great joy to know that, if nothing else, I've passed on that little nugget of our Catholic faith to my little baseball player.
Well, John, I disagree slightly with that. It's not a little nugget. You've just given your son a gold nugget the size of a football, because, you know, today so many even grown Catholic men think that, oh, my Catholic faith is when I'm in church, and then how you deal in the business world or your sports world or your entertainment world, that's something separate. And you've taught your son that there's a direct connection with that. That is an invaluable lesson that a lot of people don't get just by reading a book or hearing somebody say it. He's seen you live it. And congratulations
thank
to you and your son. That's a
thank
life
you,
lesson.
Steve. I so much appreciate that. That means so much, especially coming from you, one of the world authorities on fatherhood. I really do appreciate that, Steve. Tell us about a unique way that fathers can help build a lasting faith in the hearts of their children.
Well, this is one that dads are going to really like to hear. Okay. I have a formula that I discovered. I was in youth ministry, and I started practicing in youth ministry, and I discovered it really worked trying to get the faith across in challenging situations. And it works with my own family, and it'll work in any family. It's this. The strength of faith conveyed to a child, and you do need a child does need strong faith in today's world. The strength of faith conveyed is directly related to the strength of the relationship between the teacher and the child. Okay, you get that? It's like a bridge. And if you have a strong relationship, the teacher and the child, you can have a modest amount of faith, but it crosses in an incredibly powerful way. You know, to be a good religious instructor as a dad, for instance, you don't need to be a mini Scott Hahn, my buddy Scott Hahn. That's not the point. You have to have the strong relationship with your child. And that's why classroom religious education is only going to go so far. But what if a dad does with his children what he likes to do? I like fishing, sailing, boating, hiking, biking, just about everything outdoors you can imagine. And what I recommend, and I recommend to any dad, is that what you love doing, take those you love with you, do it with them, sports and whatever. That will create the relationship bridge. And then you don't have to continually harp and preach and everything to your kids. It just naturally gets across, and that has the impact. If I have time, I'd like to take a real quick story that I have permission from my daughter to tell. When my kids were growing up, I had a really old Boston Whaler that I'd pack all my kids in. We'd head up all kinds of just wild, fun adventures and stuff. Okay, my daughter's now a young adult, and for whatever reason, she had to have an EKG. And I don't know if you ever had one of those things that wire you up and everything. And of course, her blood pressure spiked. And the nurse said, just close your eyes and think about something peaceful, pleasant. And my daughter closed her eyes and thought about our times out in our old Boston Whaler running around together. Blood pressure goes straight down. Now, that's the kind of thing that then when you speak to your daughter about something of the faith, there's a strong relationship bridge, and a modest amount of religious instruction has a lifelong impact that never goes away. That is so important. And I just tell guys, you know, just do what you love and take your kids with you and involve them with you. And when you build stuff, do stuff, play stuff, hike stuff, whatever it is, then you're going to be the world's best religious instructor.
Well, Steve, I know one of the things that you love is scripture, and especially as a former evangelical pastor, share with us your favorite scripture, a promise for fathers.
Well, that comes from the very end of the Old Testament, and things weren't going well for the nation Israel. Some people might think things are going a little rough for our nation right now. And Israel was kind of in a desperate situation, and it almost looked hopeless. But God had a last opportunity for the nation Israel, and it was embedded in this promise almost at the very end of the Old Testament. It's from Malachi chapter 4, where God says, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And that key portion there is that how do you turn a whole nation around? How do you turn a culture around? And honestly, so many programs are, you got to fix the kids. But it seems from God's perspective, it's let's first touch the hearts of the fathers. And turning the hearts of the fathers is really, at essence, to be a good dad, and I'm not trying to just throw religion in the middle of fatherhood, but it's key for fathers to get in touch with the source of their fatherhood, which is God the Father. And that's part of the turning. And the fancy word for that is simply repentance. You turn to God with all your heart. And simultaneously, you're not just pursuing your own goals in life and desires and activities and sports and whatever. You turn your heart to your children. And it's natural. The children respond. And this is God's plan.
Well, I so much appreciate it, Steve. We're going to have to leave it right there. Thanks so much for joining us. Catholic author and conference speaker Steve Wood, the founder of St. Joseph Covenant Keepers. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Real Beauty. Think twice this morning as you look in the mirror and maybe are a bit critical of what you see. When asked once to reveal her beauty secrets, Audrey Hepburn, the iconic actress and humanitarian, wrote this beautiful piece that she later shared. To have attractive lips, speak kind words. To have a loving look, look for the good side of people. To have poise, walk knowing you're never alone because those who love and have loved you accompany you. People, even more than objects, need to be fixed, spoiled, awakened, wanted, and saved. Never give up on anyone. When you become old, you'll discover that you have two hands, one to help yourself, the second to help others. The beauty of a woman, not in the clothes she wears, in her face or way of fixing her hair, the beauty of a woman is seen in her eyes because that's the door to her heart, the source of her love. Beauty doesn't lie in her makeup, the true beauty in a woman reflected in her soul. It sounds familiar. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, will be with us to talk about the importance of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, in the Eastern churches. And career coach Bruce Lochinar will continue addressing ageism and overcoming common stereotypes. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.